Loving and powerful God, may you open our hearts to you today, to receive your Spirit and be led into understanding and truth. Amen. Now, Pentecost, I don't know how familiar you are with it. It's not actually traditionally celebrated to a great extent, not like Christmas and Easter are. But actually, as we journey towards Trinity Sunday, which is next Sunday, and you all know I love Trinity Sunday, we need to grow in our understanding of who God is as three in one. And Pentecost is really crucial to complete our major festivals celebrating the three facets of God. We have Creator or Father celebrated at Christmas in our liturgy and services. Now you may think she's wrong, Christmas is all about Jesus. Well, actually, if we think about what we're celebrating, actually it's so much more about Creator God creating life out of nothing. God who cares so much and so intimately for humanity that they become incarnate and human and fleshy to show us the way, to make themselves present in our world. Christmas, absolutely about celebrating God, Creator, Father. And then Easter, we've just celebrated. That's definitely Jesus' death. That's about the Redeemer aspect of God, redeeming us, bringing us back to a good, positive, whole relationship with God, rescuing us, making us holy and good so that we can enter into that Trinitarian relationship with God again. So we have Christmas, Father, Creator, Easter, Redeemer, Son, and now we have Pentecost, Spirit, life, power. That's our third major festival. So if you've never really thought about them all in that way, let me welcome you to Pentecost to add it into the trinity of our big festivals. All of these festivals are remembering a moment when God's presence and action was revealed in the world. But it's also opening our eyes to see where God's presence and action is in the world right now. It's not just remembering then. It is also about now and reminding ourselves where we see God. At Christmas, we hold on to the light shining in the darkness. And we hold on to that in our world, which can feel very dark. But Christmas reminds us of God's light shining. At Easter, we hold on to the hope of new life, even in the face of death. At Pentecost, we hold on to the power of God to inspire and to unite communities. Because that is what we've seen in both of our readings today. It's the moment that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is given to the believers as a collective body, as a group. Now, historically, if you go further back in the Bible into the Old Testament, we have lots of examples of the Holy Spirit being given. But it's normally to individuals. It's for a specific purpose, for a specific time. Think of Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt. But what happens at this Pentecost is that we have a moment where a whole group of people all receive God's Spirit together. And that's really significant. Just hold on to that for a moment. Because it's not about just that God's Spirit is being poured out on everybody so that there are no special individuals anymore. But it is also about the fact that the Spirit is doing more than simply equipping people for a purpose, giving them the skills they need for that moment in time. In this Pentecost act, the Spirit is a uniting force. It's a shared energy that establishes a new community. And it's this shared energy that holds the community together. Just as the Spirit is the power that holds the Trinity together in relationship. Let's look a little bit more closely at this power. I keep using the word power or force or energy. We use the word Holy Spirit as a name. Historically, of course, we used to call it the Holy Ghost, but that is misleading and frankly creepy. So now we talk about the Holy Spirit, which is more helpful as a concept, the Spirit of God. But even this language can be unnerving and make us uncomfortable because it's ephemeral, it's indescribable, it's sort of abstract and hard to pin down. It's more often the effects of the Holy Spirit that we can describe and we can connect with. But even the effects of the Holy Spirit can be powerful and dramatic, as we heard in our Acts reading, and that can be equally unnerving. I don't know how many of you find the reading from Acts a little bit unnerving, with tongues of fire and great rushing wind and dramatic changes. The accounts that we hear about with the Spirit, when the Spirit moves and falls on people, can imply that suddenly human beings have no control, that God takes over somehow, and humans end up doing things as if by magic, or kind of like through hypnosis, or like puppets, really, as if the Spirit takes over and suddenly human beings have no volition their own. They are being forced to do stuff. And I know historically, the church has often described the Spirit like that way. I know when I was growing up in church, there was a lot of talk about surrendering yourself to the Spirit, letting the Spirit move you. And I know as a teenager, I found that terrifying because I almost didn't want the Spirit to come, because what if the Spirit would suddenly make me fall on the floor or start laughing uncontrollably or doing something equally mortifying in front of everybody? It was a scary thought for me, to the point where I almost didn't want the Spirit to come and didn't want to pray those prayers. But I think it's partly because we always focused on the dramatic stories of the Spirit. Pentecost, we always think of the disciples in the upper room and the tongues of fire coming to rest on their heads. We think of other dramatic moments where God's presence is revealed, filling the temple with fire, for example, when it was dedicated, the pillar of fire that led people out of slavery in Egypt, the fire from heaven as Elijah did spiritual battle with the priests of Baal. These were all awe-inspiring demonstrations of God's presence in the world. And whenever we talked about the Spirit coming, we always seem to focus on that. Isn't it awesome? The Spirit has His power to move and show us where God is. It always sounded like fire and drama and God taking over. This is where I have found great comfort in the passage from John that Isaac read to us, because it gives us another perspective. It gives us another angle. Remember in that passage, the disciples were gathered together. This is John's version of Pentecost, the Acts story. They were gathered together and Jesus came among them, appeared with them, and they were overjoyed to see him. He'd just been risen. It was an amazing moment. And he said, "I'm sending you out into the world." And he breathed the Holy Spirit on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathes the Spirit on them. The word in Greek is actually pneuma, which is breath. This is much more in the territory of God breathing life into Adam at the start of the world and creation began. When Ezekiel prophesies over the bones in the dry valley of bones, and the breath fills them with life and they come alive again. It is much more gentle, but oh my goodness, just as powerful. Let's think for a moment about breath. Breath is filling your lungs every moment that you are sitting there. Breath that brings you oxygen so that you can think and move and live. It is breath that keeps you alive. This is an equally powerful image of God being present in us just as much as fire descending from above. It's just not as intimidating, or at least I don't find it that way. I actually think understanding the Holy Spirit as breath is so much more helpful in understanding how we receive God into our lives and how God sustains us each and every moment of the day. Because when we talk about God living in us, I don't know about you, maybe I'm just too literal, but my head immediately goes to pregnancy or scenes from Alien, where there's this parasitic being that I have no control over, that I'm housing and I can't get rid of. That is, again, a scary thought for a lot of people. But understanding God's Spirit as breath that gives us life that is in us, something that we actively breathe in, and we could choose not to, I find so much more helpful and empowering about a way of understanding God in me. Our breath enables our bodies to function. It brings us the life-building elements that enable our key biological functions to function. And it's not something that we can store up for ourselves. I said we could choose to stop breathing, but actually we can't, can we? We can't store it up. We can't go, right, I'm going to breathe now, and then I won't breathe for a few days. I'll just store up all the oxygen and keep going. We can't do that. We have to constantly breathe in and out. We cannot rely on our own stores and strength. We need that constant inhalation and exhalation to enable our bodies to work. And so it is with God's Spirit. We need that life force gently, consistently bringing us those key elements we need to live out our lives so well. And indeed, removing the things that we do not want stored up in our body. Think about when you're anxious. What is often the first thing people tell you to do? Take a deep breath. Just breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. We find it calming. We can find it empowering. But concentrating on our breathing helps us find peace. And I do not think that is any accident. We are literally breathing in God's peace when we do that. Breath is an incredibly rich way of understanding the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit. But so far, we've only looked really at how the Holy Spirit empowers us individually. Remember, I said, hold on to that thought, that one of the key things about Pentecost is that the Spirit came to a group. Jesus breathed out the Spirit on the whole group of disciples together. Because the other thing that the Spirit does is flow between us, connecting us, holding us together. This is where the language of force is possibly helpful. Not force as in strength and might and pushing, but an energy, an influence that draws us together and enables us to connect. Think like magnets, the force that enables magnets to connect together, to attract. It's a bit like the force of a shared experience to bind people together. The Holy Spirit is that force that enables us to live differently, to love each other, even across difference. The Holy Spirit is the strength, the compassion, the grace, all the verbs that describe how we live together as God's people on this earth. The Holy Spirit is the new part of God's new covenant, made through Jesus' death on the cross. In that moment, God formed a new people. Brought together through the belief that Jesus was God's Son, died to restore our broken relationship with God, and evidence of this is Jesus living again, and then the Holy Spirit is the one that unites us as this new body, this new people of God. It's the seal, as it were, on who we are. This is why it was so important in the New Testament, as you read it, as Paul meets lots of different people and establishes different churches, why it was so important that they received the Holy Spirit. Because it was what connected them and bound them and held them together as God's people, commissioned to do the work of Jesus. But what is wonderful is that the force goes beyond us. The Holy Spirit lives in us, but isn't confined to just human bodies, right? God's Spirit is in the world. It is blowing where it wills, where God is wanting to act. All the things that the Spirit brings us, it brings to the world. It brings creativity, reconciliation, new life, inspiration. Just a moment about that word. I love that word, inspire. It comes from the Latin inspire, that literally means breathe into. That's what inspire means. God is literally breathing life into the whole world, inspiring it, inspiriting it. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It moves ahead of us as a church. It doesn't just inspirit us, it inspirits and inspires the people in the wider world to live compassionately and lovingly. It inspires people to help others, to seek God for themselves. It draws people into community. That's what we're going to be celebrating this afternoon at our Pentecost party. Connection in our community. I believe, inspired by God. There are all sorts of people in our community who are inspired to live in harmonious relationship with one another, to help one another, to help each other to flourish as this community. I believe that is inspired by God. They may not call it that, but I believe it is God's Spirit moving in the world. So I do hope that you can join us this afternoon as we connect with each other and with our wider community and celebrate our relationships. But this morning, this Pentecost, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples in that first Pentecost. We celebrate God's power to breathe life and inspiration into the world. But let's also pray for that desire to breathe in God's Spirit for ourselves, moment by moment. It's not just today. Let's pray to be inspired to breathe God in, to be inspired as a community, to be drawn together, to be bound together, to be interconnected by God's Spirit. I just invite you as we end to concentrate on your breath for a moment. Let's breathe in and breathe out. And breathe in and breathe out. Amen.